We continue our discussion on Oakland art and culture with Theo A-Chain Williams, Artistic Director of Samba Funk, a collective of dancers, musicians, artists, and community members, about this year's Art and Soul Festival and the history and challenges of festival events in Oakland. Theo Williams, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
I'm happy to be here.
So describe Art and Soul for those who have never attended and don't know what it is.
Well, Art and Soul is now the city of Oakland's premier music and cultural festival. It's the largest festival that the city offers, and it's in the middle of town, in downtown. It has multiple stages and multiple acts. It's a good mix of local talent and some national known artists come and perform, some headliners. It's partially backed by the city, but it's put on by a private company. A lot of people think that the festival is actually the city of Oakland, and it's not the city of Oakland. It's a private company, private promoter, that partners with the city and gets funds from the city from different parts of the festival, like the trash pickup, our promotions, our permitting, so there's the city allotment that goes towards the production of the festival. But the festival is an annual festival. It moves around from date to date. It's always in the summer. It started out many years ago. It was on Labor Day weekend, and then that became a little bit too expensive, I guess. It was a three-day weekend and went from Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And then Monday is a time and a half day for everybody, city workers and union workers and everybody. So I think that kind of priced them out of that. They did that for a couple of years. And then it went to a weekend festival, a Saturday and Sunday festival. But yeah, I would encourage people to check it out and see what's up. We'll be playing there this year.
So talk about the history of Art and Soul, how the festival came to be.
From my understanding, Art and Soul, like most things, evolved out of something that evolved out of something else that evolved from something else. But prior to Art and Soul, City of Oakland had a festival called Festival at the Lake. It was the gem and the jewel of the city and city activities. It was right there at Lake Merritt. Everyone knows that's the multi-billion dollar real estate of the city. Everybody have always liked to utilize that area. That history goes back really, really deep, especially as it relates to African Americans using parts of the lake for their own recreation and for their own entertainment activities, right? When I was a child, you would have folks that would roller skate by the snack bar. I think the snack bar is now the Children's Math and Science Center in that area, somewhere close. Now, it's in between the boathouse and the Natural Historical Center. But in any case, there was a festival there, a festival at the lake. It was stretched all throughout the northern part of the lake from Children's Fairyland all the way down by the Natural Museum, because it's all Ohlone land. But in any case, yeah, so that was the festival. And prior to that, the inspiration from that festival came from Kari Jama. And Kari Jama was Oakland Carnival at the time at Mosswood Park. And early on, it was the premier cultural event for the city. And it highlighted
Kari Jama was.
Kari Jama, mm-hmm. Yeah. And even before it was called Kari Jama, it was just called Oakland Carnival. It was just Oakland Carnival and the folks from the
And this
islands.
Was connected to San Francisco Carnival, which is connected to the Caribbean Carnival.
Yeah, it's connected. It's interesting because it's connected in a sense of Caribbean Carnival has always had a presence in the Bay Area, and it hasn't always been what we recognize now as San Francisco Carnival, which is focused on the Mission District. So Caribbean folks have always represented in the Bay, and if not as the premier first carnival, early on, simultaneously establishing a Caribbean-style carnival in San Francisco, as well as in Berkeley. You know, I listened to some of the elders from Sister Swiss Style, and I guess at one point, most of the organizations were from Mass Makers and some legacy Caribbean groups here.
That people kinda, that make masks or make the outfits for carnival.
Exactly. that the history goes back that there was an organization that a lot of them came from. They all worked together, and then everybody began to create their own organization. So you see the birth of the organizations that we have now. And as I talk with some of those elders, they've informed me that the Caribbean expression of Carnival has always been here since day one, when Carnivals existed in San Francisco and in Oakland. And in Oakland, it was at Mosswood Park. And that was the origin of it. That was the in the early stages, an event that represented culture and not just straight up music or, you know, just dancing, but the whole cultural aspect of being at a festival. And that blueprint was duplicated and expanded, and which created a festival at the lake, which had its time, it ran its course, and then after that was eliminated, the next evolution of a city festival has been Art and Soul.
And do we want to get into the series of unfortunate events that closed down Carijama and Festival at the Lake?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was, for one, I was there as just a resident back in the day. We're talking about Festival at the Lake. And for Carijama, I was involved on the planning committee. So I saw that. And, you know, when you have African-centered events and groupings of people, it has been historically perceived as some type of a threat. Historically, we haven't been allowed to congregate in large numbers without being over-policed and, you know, questioned and or harassed. Well, in Oakland, and you're talking about the 80s and, you know, leading into the 90s, you, given our history, you know, now that we really look at it, looking at it from a wider lens, the after effects of J. Edgar Hoover's FBI COINTELPRO movement on black organizations and specifically the Black Panther Party, which was founded right here in Oakland, California, and identifying them as public enemy number one, and just all the destruction and chaos that the federal government caused on that organization and to black people, and the progress and development of black people, right? Because you have freedom fighters that were in the party, and then if you go ahead and flip that to the Ronald Reagan era and the Iran-Contra, the exchanging of drugs and guns and you know, our involvement as a government with Latin America and all the Latin American politics that was going on there, and then the introduction of crack and, you know, everything, how it was, the guns were introduced in South Central LA, and, you know, you're talking about these are, we mention them in a conversation like this, but we're talking about devastating and life-changing historical events that just wiped out a portion of our black family, and we just say like a happenstance, you know, like, yeah, this happened, yeah, but you're talking about X amount of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people that are either lost their lives or behind bars, folks that didn't get to see 30, you know, black men and women. So this is the backdrop of what's happening right here in Oakland. So yeah, when we look at the end of the Festival at the Lake, you had a really good open festival, and then you had police officers, OPD, and I can't remember if it was OPD or if it was the sheriffs, but I believe it was OPD. You had them beginning to aggravate and agitate situations with other Oakland residents, primarily black males. Now, I don't know if they feel like they recognize these people as being felons or from the east side or whatever it was, but it began, the last couple of years just began to become volatile, and fights would break out. I can't really remember a lot of fights between people, but what I saw is the altercations between the community and the police, OPD. Folks riding with OPD, riding with horses through people and stuff like that. And it's just like the over-policing, the over-presence, that whole thing. And I think that that's what really led to the demise of festival at the lake. But that's a little history on that.
And what about the thought of accessibility? Because Kari-Jama Festival at the Lake and a number of other festivals in Oakland are free.
Yeah.
For the most part. So Art and Soul used to be free. Now it's, then it went up to $5 and now it's $10. Mm-hmm. Is it accessible to the community?
Well, I mean, that just depends, right? If you're working for Uber or Lyft or something and you're 24 years old and making $95,000 coding or something, then you're not really tripping off $10. But if you're living on 56 and Foothill and you want to bring your four children downtown and catch BART down there or whatever, and you have to pay $40 or $35 just to get in, and then, you know, pay for whatever the vendors are going to charge for their wares, what they think their wares are worth, right? And then get them something to eat. Now you're talking about, you know, you spent $150 down there. And hopefully they have good acts. So it would be good if it was some local acts as well. So I think that there are accessible points with the event. I mean, I would love to see it being a free event.
Is that possible?
I mean, it all depends on sponsorship. It all depends on the vision of the producer. You had mentioned some of the community events. We are actually looking at developing a local producers type of committee where we have regular forums and share information. And some of those local organizers, community festival organizers, some of these questions have come up. And everybody is adamant about working to keep their festival as inexpensive. And the majority of them, I would say 9 out of 10 of them, actually are still free. So I think that when Art and Soul first started, there were a lot fewer community festivals. But now, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years in, we have almost 2 community festivals a month, starting with Malcolm X Jazz Festival. And then it just rolls all the way. Like, I think Life is Living used to be the last festival, and that was close to October. Now I think there's even another festival that's going to be after that. So, and it's a community-based festival. And then we have other national festivals that are stopping in Oakland. You know, so Oakland is becoming a destination, and the community festivals I think are the backbone of the city. I know we're talking about Art and Soul. Art and Soul is an awesome festival, but if there's only so much space and so many stages there, and it would be good if Art and Soul could accommodate more of the local artists as well. And I know you have to rotate it, so I'm not saying that Art and Soul doesn't have any local artists, you know, but it's taken us pretty much 9 years to get on Art and Soul Festival.
Samba Funk, your group.
Samba Funk, yes.
So talk about Oakland's festivals and their cultural significance. We mentioned Kari-Jama, there's the Malcolm X Jazz Festival, Fam Bam, Pan-African, and newly arrived Lake Fest and Barbecue and Wild Black.
Right.
How does Art and Soul fit in with that cultural festival landscape in Oakland?
That's a really good question. And we are involved, and I know Kev Choice has performed there, Martin Luther has performed there, Confunction has performed there. They have a gospel stage regularly. At one point, they used to have a blues stage. I don't know if they still do. Maybe they have a blues day or a blues hour. But at one point, Art and Soul was very strong in wanting to represent the cultural aspects. I just think that Art and Soul is a top-down type of organization, that they, you know, they work hard to present something that represents Oakland. They have us in there this year. But the other organizations, or not the organizations, but the other festivals, I think they really not only have their ear to the ground, they're part of that ground. They're in the grassroots. So they actually see people at AU Lounge. They actually see people at Level 13. They actually see people at Jeffries. They actually see people at the Malanga. They actually see, so, you know, you can see an artist, you can see a producer, you can see this person, and you have contact with them. with the people that produce Art and Soul Festival, I don't think so much. And, you know, so I think it's like a top-down. We're working with agencies. This agency does that, and this agency does that, and this agency does that. And primarily, you know, historically, those agencies are not African-American agencies, and they're not really rooted in the community. They're rooted in wherever they're rooted, whether that's South of Market or...
It's a higher-scale production.
Yeah.
And what are some of the challenges that you would say that grassroots festival organizers in Oakland face?
Well, right now, everything is going up. So permitting is going up. I know there was a festival just recently around the lake where the producer had to decide whether to have food or to pay an astronomical amount of extra money that was dumped on them at the last minute, you know. And while people are on the outside thinking like, oh, there's so many people at this festival, everybody's having a great time, when the numbers are all said and done and when everything is paid for, the generators and the tents and the stages and the people and the everything else that you pay for in advance, that you're like, okay, I'm going to make the money over here, and when I make the money, I'm going to take that. Once you do all that, and that money that you're being asked to meet this last minute need to keep the festival going, that could very easily be the difference between you breaking even and going in the red. You know, it's like, okay, so if I decide to pay this additional $2,500, $3,000, $5,000 over here, that means that I'm going to make nothing. Because people always think that, okay, you're walking away with so much money on these festivals, and you don't. This is the festivals that are paid for, because the majority of these festivals that we're talking about, Oakland Community Festivals, are free. Life is Living is free. Emoja is free. Oakland Carnival is free. Malcolm X Jazz Festival is free. Lakes Fest was free. Fam Bam is free. Black Eyed Peas Festival
is
free.
Well, Fam Bam is not free.
Wait, what's
Pan-African.
Pan-African. Pan-African. And Mosswood.
Right.
Yeah, that's my bad. Yeah, but that one is free. A Black Eyed Peas Festival is free. I think now just jumped onto the scene is the Black Joy Festival.
Do you think that the festivals will continue to prosper in Oakland, or do you think that the challenges will discourage some festival organizers from putting together the festivals that define Oakland?
Right. Well, I mean, that's another thing, too, is that these festivals are actually really defining who we are for real as it relates to space, occupation of space, equity. I'm not sure if we mentioned that, you know, but all of that is who's able to use the space and for what. All that stuff is important. I think that the producers of community festivals will only increase. I think that there will be more community events. I would like to see for the smaller community organizers to work together more and share information, share resources. And, you know, because if you're coming in doing a festival and maybe you have a hookup on sound and I have a hookup on staging, if we go in there together and be like, well, look, we have five festivals. What can we get for sound and what can we get for staging, as opposed to everybody just working independently? And as working class people and as African-American people, it's worked better for us when we moved in numbers.
Talk about Samba Funk, when you will be performing, how can people find you, what it is that you do.
Right on. Well, Samba Funk is a collection of local artists. We primarily focus on African Brazilian drum and dance. We call ourselves the Funquarians, and the Funquarians were born from the babies that were thrown overboard in the Middle Passage. We believe that they created an underwater Afrophibious nation of African people, and we recognize ourselves as a Funquarian. So every time we dance, play, sing, and chant, we do it in honor of all those families of the Middle Passage. Whenever we mention them, we just say, oh, 5 to 10 million, like it's just like a flat number again. But, you know, these were folks, uncles and aunts and cousins, and you're talking about people, you know, you wake up one day and then all of a sudden you're like, where's my husband? Where's my wife? Where's my son? Where's my daughter? They were kidnapped. And these are the folks that didn't make it, not the ones. We're the descendants of the folks that toughed it out. But in any case, we are the Funquarians, and we started just out of a love of building community. And over the process, we started as a dance class, just a class itself, and that evolved into a performance company. And most recently, we've evolved into a nonprofit 501c3 arts organization. So our goal is to be a cultural pillar for the Bay, to represent definitely for Oakland, because we're from the town, really from Oakland, but also for African Americans throughout the Bay Area, because there's less people in San Francisco, less black folks in Frisco than we've had before. Those numbers are down. And even with the dwindling numbers in Oakland of African Americans, we're still, you know, the highest number of any county in the state, in Northern Cal. So, you know, we're still there. But
when will you be performing at Art and Soul?
On Saturday the 28th. We go on at 2:00. And we're just going to be doing a procession. So your listeners can come jump in the procession with us.
And what's your contact information? How can people find you?
Super easy. You can go to sambafunk.com, sambafunk.com, and sambafunkarts.org, sambafunk and arts.org. And we're all over social. If you hashtag sambafunk, a lot of our stuff should come up.
Well, Theo Williams, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Theo H.N. Williams, Artistic Director of Sambafunk, a nonprofit collective of dancers, musicians, artists, and community members combining the cultural elements from Africa, Brazil, and the Americas.